Discipline is a dirty word. The very sound of it can bring up resistance and unpleasant memories for most of us. Culturally, we have been conditioned to equate discipline with punishment, or at least with a rigorous effort, grimly carried out and often rather thoroughly resented. Some of you, perhaps, are already reliving some childhood memories just with the mention of the word. When I was 5 years old, I began studying the piano. And since we lived in northern Kentucky, excellent resources were close by. At the time, however, I was not impressed with the fact that my parents were scraping by financially in order to send me to study piano at the Cincinnati Conservatory of Music. I recall their keeping me at the piano for a whole hour every day. From this perspective, that doesn't seem so unreasonable, but now I'm not just five. I loved playing the piano. I loved going to lessons. I just didn't like to practice. The bicycle and the willow tree in the backyard held a lot more appeal. However, for 8 long years, wiser heads prevailed, and practice I did. Although I don't remember it in any great detail, I must have made my restlessness known, because Daddy, no wimp when it came to demands and expectations, at some point told me that if I would continue the lessons until my freshman year of high school, I could stop. This was a promise we would both come to regret. In the fall of the 9th grade, I reminded him of what he had said. While I could tell he didn't like it, he was very much a person of honor, and I was allowed to stop. The next 10 or 20 years, I played piano sporadically. There were even periods when I played a lot, still enjoying it greatly. However, life intervened with school, work, and babies, and the playing became more and more infrequent. My last gesture in the direction of piano came here in Louisville some 25 years ago at a garage sale where Rick Bartlett, then a local jazz pianist of some note, was selling an old upright piano used in the original Broadway production of O Calcutta. The instrument was much the worse for wear, but I swore to myself that I would restart practicing, and I plunked down $100. If you have ever tried to move a piano, you will appreciate that we almost lost Rick, my husband, and 2 sons getting it into our house. And guess what? The piano sat there virtually unused until I finally donated it to Wayside Christian Mission some 5 years later. Now, from today's perspective, I am struck by my incredible good fortune. For what grew gradually over the years of my childhood was a deep appreciation for the joy of music in so many of its different forms. Music has become a huge part of my life. Indeed, I cannot imagine life without it. During a March retreat at Spirit Rock, the only thing I was aware of missing in the silence of 30 days was music. On the last day, one of the participants, an accomplished musician, played guitar and sang chants. I listened with tears running down my face. The other aspect of my gratitude closely related is for the ability to be disciplined in a committed effort. Honey, there was no way the little girl could see the benefit of all that practice. Now, however, it's deep within my behavioral vocabulary to apply regular, consistent effort toward a committed goal. Doesn't it take us a long time to really appreciate our parents? For me, at this point, discipline is truly no longer a dirty word. Actually, the definition I love comes from David Campbell, and it's this. Discipline is remembering what you really want. Discipline is remembering what you really want. So, what do you really want? To awaken, you say? Suzuki Roshi once said, "Why do you want enlightenment? You might not like it." But we do aspire to awakening, or we wouldn't continue to meet here on Monday evenings when there are 1,000 other things we could be doing. And we do make some sort of regular effort, though our efforts are so often cut short or diluted by other less skillful choices and habits. This week, a friend whose views I value highly asked whether I had seen the Clint Eastwood movie Invictus with Morgan Freeman and Matt Damon. I said that I had not. Her description and strong positive response intrigued me enough to get into the car on a hot Friday evening and drive to Wild and Woolly to rent the movie. I was not sorry. A little history here. Invictus is a short Victorian poem by the English poet William Ernest Henley. It originally bore no title. The familiar title, Invictus, which is Latin for unconquered, was added by Arthur Quiller Couch when he included the poem in the Oxford Book of English Verse in 1900. At age 12, Henley fell victim to tuberculosis of the bone, and a few years later, the disease progressed to his foot, and physicians announced that the only way to save his life was to amputate directly below the knee. Henley's leg was amputated when he was 25 years old. In 1875, he wrote the Invictus poem from a hospital bed. In the year 2009, the movie was made from the poem, and the poem is referenced in that movie several times. It becomes the central inspirational gift from Nelson Mandela to Springbok rugby team captain Francois Pienaar in advance of the post-apartheid Rugby World Cup hosted in 1995 by South Africa and won by the underdog Springboks. Mandela credits the poem with inspiring his incredible endurance during that time. The poem is recited by Mandela as the two visit Robben Island, where Mandela served 27 years at hard labor. He credits the poem with inspiring his incredible endurance during that time. This is a supreme example of discipline in action. Here is the poem. "Of the night that covers me, black as the pit from pole to pole, I thank whatever gods may be for my unconquerable soul. The fell clutch of circumstance, I have not winced nor cried aloud. Under the bludgeonings of chance, my head is bloody, but unbowed. Beyond this place of wrath and tears looms but the horror of the shade, and yet the menace of the years finds and shall find me unafraid. It matters not how straight the gate, how charged with punishments the scroll. I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul. Though the tone of the poem may not seem Buddhist, the clear statement is that we are alone responsible for our choices, our responses. I alone am responsible for whether I sit for an hour, for 5 minutes, or not at all. And the same is true for you. Sometimes this meditation practice can be smooth, blissful, and even, requiring little resolve to remain through the allotted time. Often, however, it is all we can do to stay on the cushion, like riding a bronco. This is what Charlotte Joko Beck says. Zendo is not a place for bliss and relaxation. It is a furnace room for the combustion of our delusion. What tools do we need to use? Only one. We've all heard it, yet we use it very seldom. It's called attention. These, then, are the times when we call upon all the hours of listening and learning and remember what we really want. In such moments, the gift of discipline truly shines.